From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues this series in Paul's Epistle to the Colossians. This epistle sets forth the glorious person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ in a manner designed to increase the believer's love for the Savior and to provide guidance in living the Christian life. Prior to the message by Dr. Cairns, we'll have a devotional thought from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, as well as some Christ-honoring sacred music.
Our text for this morning is found in Micah chapter 5 and verse 4. He shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord. Christ's reign in his church is that of a shepherd king. He has supremacy, but it is the superiority of a wise and tender shepherd over his needy and loving flock. He commands and receives obedience, but it is the willing obedience of the well-cared-for sheep, rendered joyfully to their beloved shepherd, whose voice they know so well. He rules by the force of love and the energy of goodness. His reign is practical in its character. It is said, he shall stand and feed. The great head of the church is actively engaged in providing for his people. He does not sit down upon the throne in empty state or hold a scepter without wielding it in government. No, he stands and feeds. The expression feed in the original is like an analogous one in the Greek, which means to shepherdize, to do everything expected of a shepherd, to guide, to watch, to preserve, to restore, to tend, as well as to feed. His reign is continual in its duration. It is said, he shall stand and feed, not he shall feed now and then and leave his position. Not he shall one day grant a revival and the next day leave his church to barrenness. His eyes never slumber and his hands never rest. His heart never ceases to beat with love, and his shoulders are never weary of carrying his people's burdens. His reign is effectually powerful in its action. He shall feed in the strength of Jehovah. Wherever Christ is, there is God. And whatever Christ does is the act of the Most High. Oh, it is a joyful truth to consider that he who stands today representing the interests of his people is very God of very God, to whom every knee shall bow. Happy are we who belong to such a shepherd, whose humanity communes with us and whose divinity protects us. Let us worship and bow down before him as the people of his pasture.
Oh,
listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then take our thanks for taking the time to do so. You may contact us by email or phone or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres, freepres.org. Or if you wish, you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the programs, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues his final message in these studies in Paul's epistle to the Colossians, focusing on the theme of living in the experience of God's power. The text is verse 29 of chapter 1. Whereunto I also labor, said Paul, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily, in which Paul is speaking of his labors to produce fully mature Christians. The word worketh contains the idea of energizing. Christians are energized by the Holy Spirit. Unsaved people are energized by Satan, and this explains why the world is in such a chaotic state as it is. Yet sinners can come to know the transforming power of Christ through the gospel. Salvation is the first experience of the power of God. Then believers experience the power of God in their lives in the process of sanctification. It is God's will that His people be holy, and every true child of God will have a desire for holiness. Also, God works confession in His people, whereby they come to say the same thing about sin that the Lord says. Furthermore, the Holy Spirit works conformity to Christ in believers as He produces in them the fruit of the Spirit. And now with today's message, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
It is the peculiar work of the Holy Spirit of God to convict. Jesus said, John 16, verse 8, when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Reproving of sin. You see, the indwelling Holy Ghost strives against the sin in our flesh. We are still in the flesh. There's no getting out of that until we are glorified or until we die. We are in the flesh. And in my flesh, said Paul, dwelleth no good thing. Sin dwells in the flesh. And that's not just speaking of the skin and bone, but it's speaking of the entire body and brain, by the way, as a willing servant of sin. Now, the Holy Ghost strives against that. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Listen, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Now, there's the battle in a Christian. Some people get worried that there's a battle within them. Man, the only time you've got to worry is when there's no battle within you. See, if you're able to sin and there's no battle, if you can live in sin and there's no battle, you're in trouble because you're unconverted. How can I say that? The flesh lusteth against the Spirit lusteth against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other. Now, watch the last line. So that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Now, there's an insight into true psychology, biblical psychology, an insight into a converted soul. Because there is the Spirit within you, lusting. The word lust, of course, does not necessarily imply wickedness. The lust of the flesh is wickedness, but the word lust in itself simply is a word that expresses very strong desire. And so you have this movement of the flesh against the Spirit, but you have this strong moving of the Spirit against the flesh, with the result, with these two contrary forces, you cannot do the things that you would. There are things that your flesh would do. And sometimes, to our shame, we have to say, we allow the flesh to do. And that's when conviction kicks in. For you can't do those things. There was a time when you could do it without a thought, but you can't do it anymore. Not with any comfort. There's a battle going on, the striving of the Holy Ghost within us against sin. So he works conviction. Let me just stop there for a minute. If you're a Christian, the Lord's putting his hand in your life today or any other day, and he's isolating things, actions, attitudes, thoughts, words, associations, whatever. He's putting his hand in those things, and it's uncomfortable for you. The old flesh would want to strive, get up. It's still going to strive against the Spirit. It's going to say, blot it out of your mind. Get out of that meeting. Get away from that sort of influence, or blame the preacher or whoever else happens to be the instrument to be used of the Spirit of God to bring it to your heart. But let me tell you, be very careful. As a Christian, but quenching the Holy Ghost, be very careful. He's working conviction in you to will and to do of God's good pleasure. anything else will not be good in your life. There's only one thing good in your life or my life, and that's the good pleasure of God. He works conviction. From that, then, he works confession. The word confession is a very interesting word. You can see the first three letters of it. They come from a Latin word that simply means with. And here is something that you are saying with someone else. Confession, literally, in the Greek text, is saying the same thing as. And in this connection, it's the work of the Holy Spirit convicting us of our sin, of our failure, and leading us to say the same thing about that thing as the Lord says. Now, that's the work of God. To enlighten our mind, to enliven our conscience, to direct our will, so that we identify sin as God identifies it. Now you see immediately what a total change that is from the way the flesh would operate. For the flesh will either deny it, or excuse it, or blame somebody else for it. Those are the three usual things that the flesh does. Deny it, excuse it, or blame somebody else for it. And you know, you and I, we are experts in those things. The flesh is expert in those things. No way that any man, woman, or even young person here, maybe sometimes especially young people, could deny that. Once something's brought before you, there's your sin, deny it. That only adds to your sin, for you've now become a liar as well. Or excuse it. It's not as bad as you say it is. And I didn't really mean it that way anyway. Or, well, I might have done that, but what have you done? You did this and you did that. If that's true, let's deal with that. But that's no way around your sin or my sin. The work of the Holy Ghost is to cut through all that nonsense of the flesh and to bring us to the place where we will say the same thing about our sin as the Lord says about it. That's fundamental to confession. And confession is fundamental to forgiveness. The Holy Spirit is given that he should give repentance. This is a gracious work of God. But God is working in his people. That's why I have great, great reservations about these cases. People are supposed to have been saved when they were five. And by the way, I'm not knocking people being saved when they're five. Some of the best Christians I have ever known were saved when they were five or less. So I'm not knocking that. But what worries me is people who say they were saved when they're five or six or eight or whatever. And then they're backslidden for 50 years. Now, I can't read hearts. But I can tell you that anybody's able to live 50 years without repentance, without confession, without a desire to get right with God. It's not backsliding's the problem. It's the fact they've never frontslidden. That's the problem. You see, this is the gift of the Holy Ghost. He gives repentance to confess and then to bring pardon if we confess our sins. Is there a sweeter promise in the Bible for a Christian? This is for you and this is for me. I have to plead this or any some similar promise every day I live. This is for you or for me. As none of us can say we have not sinned. If any man says he has no sin, he deceives himself and the truth is not in him. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful. He is just. Faithful means he will keep his promise. Just refers to the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is, understand it, believer, there is provision in the cross work of Jesus Christ for the pardon and the sanctification of his people. So if we confess our sin, he's faithful, he is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Holy Ghost works conviction within us. The Holy Ghost works confession within us. The Holy Ghost works conformity to Christ within God's people. Remember that lovely title that the Lord takes to himself, the description of his work in Exodus 31:13. I am the Lord that doth sanctify thee. You may recollect in our earlier studies in Colossians 1 that Paul called these Colossians saints, those who are really separated by God unto God to live in holy fellowship with God. And that's a simple but profound definition of saints. Saints are people who have been really separated by God unto God to live in holy fellowship with God. So these people were saints. And yet, as we have seen, Paul longed for them to become more mature. They were saints, but they were not perfect in holiness. They needed to become more perfect. They needed to become more conformed to Christ. As he wrote to the Galatians in chapter 4 and verse 19, he labored to see Christ fully formed in them. Now that's a spiritual work. It's not the product of the will of the flesh. It's not simply saying, I can do it, I will do it, I've decided to do it, that's it. There is decision involved. But that's the result of an internal spiritual work. Galatians 5:22 calls it the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. Now, I'm not going to repeat what I said when I did a prolonged series on the fruit of the Spirit. But will you remember this? I did take one entire message, if my memory's not too far awry here, to emphasize the word. This is a fruit of the Spirit. It is not a work of the flesh. This fruit of the Spirit, it's very, very expressive. What do you expect to get if you have an apple tree? You expect it to produce apples. What's the fruit of an apple tree? Apples. What's the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, and write down the nine aspects of that holy fruit. In other words, what he's saying, and he says this again and again and again in so many ways through his epistles, and the other writers of the New Testament make the same point. What he's saying is that this is not just a religion of profession. It's not just a religion of theological exactness, though it is that. This is a living, vital union with the living Christ. The living God is within you, and since the living God is within you, he's working within you, and there is fruit for that. There's results for that. God works conformity. And so Paul prayed that New Testament believers would experience the working of God's power within them to sanctify.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, You may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.